All right, let's take our Bibles and turn back to the book of Psalms, chapter 20. Psalms 20. And we'll try to pick up where we left off. Having considered the wonder that God, for Christ's sake, hears us, hears his people. Our great federal head and high priest, the God of Jacob, he defends us. God has set us upon him, our city of refuge. Lord, who sends help from heaven and supports us out of Zion, out of his place, a symbol place of comfort. And now we want to continue looking at the blessings that has been shown the sheep of God, the sheep of God's pasture, according to his mercy and compassion. Now, Gary and I was just talking just a moment ago. How sad. We don't even begin to realize what the Lord's been pleased to do for us. We don't realize. We don't know. The long suffering of God. Oh, but one day, as God's pleased to reveal it, we'll know. We'll know. We'll see him as he is and be like him. I've told you before, I can't even enter into that statement. Be like him. But suffice it to say, the mercy and grace of God's been shown to some worms like us. And Lord, help us to show some thankfulness, to be thankful, appreciative. Psalm chapter 20, verse 3. And again, saying as the first verse says, the Lord hear thee, the Lord send thee help. Here says, the Lord, remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. And there's that precious word, Selah. The priest in the wilderness, the priest that God had set apart, those of the house of Aaron, that according to the direction of the Lord, they would offer different sacrifices, offerings, all with great significance, all concerning the glory of the work, the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was an offering called the meat offering. It was actually a bloodless offering. It was an offering that set forth the glorious and sinless perfection, person, character of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was fine flour that was taken thoroughly, thoroughly ground. It was just fine powder, no lumps, which magnified the perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did that meat offering signify? There was no sin in him. None. And then there was an offering called the sin offering. And what the sin offering did, it set forth the sacrifice of our Lord for the sins of ignorance of his people. Here's what the sin offering set forth. This is what he paid for. This is what he did. That sin offering. We're sinners, whether we know it or not. We kind of look at ourselves and kind of gauge ourselves. We all do this, so don't, you know, there's nobody that's without fault here. We've all got this attitude. I know I'm a sinner, but I'm not as bad a sinner as somebody else. Well, let me tell you what. Yes, we are. We're all as an unclean thing. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You know what that means. Minstrel's claws. You know what it means. That's what we are. We think we're somebody. I tell you what, I know I've done some things, but I'd never do what that person did. That's the most foolish statement that anybody could ever make. Don't ever think that you're beyond doing anything but for the grace of God. I'd never stoop to that depth. The sin offering was an offering that set forth what Christ did because of what we are. Sin. We don't even know what that means. Somebody says transgression of the law. We don't know what that means. But I tell you what it cost. It cost the blood of God. Blood of God. That's what Acts 20:28 says. Look it up. The blood of God. Then there was a peace offering. Now this was an offering which was presented. An offering would be brought by an offender, one who had offended, brought an offering to the priest. And the priest would present the sacrifice unto the Lord. Then each, the priest and the offender, would be able to eat a portion of that sacrifice. I'm not going into the depth of each one because sake of time, but just telling you what these are. They would eat, the priest and the offender would each eat a portion of that sacrifice. And what that offering set forth was the peace and the unity that had been established for the sinner by the great high priest himself. That peace offering, they could each, the offender and the priest, they have a portion of that. Then there was an offering called the burnt offering. And it was an offering that was offered only to Jehovah. That offering that set forth this, the willingness of our Lord to lay down his life for the sheep. That offering, that it was a sweet savor offering unto the Lord. And then lastly, there was a trespass offering. There was a sin offering and a trespass offering. Well, what did the trespass offering set forth? This is what we do because of what we are. The sin offering was an offering that said we're sinners. Trespass offering says this is what we do. We trespass because of what we are. So the scripture says, verse 3, the Lord remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. I realize that we don't offer these sacrifices today like they did in the wilderness. But why? Because our Lord finished the work. We don't do that. We don't kill these. Those are pictures and types. They were done away. Christ has come and fulfilled all the types, all the pictures. But here, in these offerings, we look to Him. We look to Him. He is our sacrifice before God. He is our offering. And then the Spirit of God moved upon the writer to say this, Selah. Pause. Contemplate. Muse upon. Just pause for a moment and think about this. He is our meat offering. He knew no sin. He's our sin offering. He died for what we are. He's our trespass offering. He died for what we do. He's our meat. He's our trespass offering. He's our peace offering before God. He's established peace by the blood of His cross. There's therefore now no condemnation. Them being Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And He is our burnt offering. Willingly laid down His life for His people. And then consider the great benefit that the needy sheep have received from the Father through the Son. Now let me just say this. The Lord's desire. What was His desire? His desire was the desire of the will of the Father and of the Holy Spirit. His desire was the redemption and salvation of His people. That was God's will, God's purpose. His will, his desire and purpose was that they be with him where he is. That's what John 17:24 said. Father, I will that those that thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, the glory that you gave me before the foundation of the world as the Lamb, that they may behold me, their sacrifice, their Redeemer, their Lord, their God, their King, their husband. I will that they be with me. That was his desire. And the Father absolutely honored his desire. Now look at verse 4. God grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel, all your desire. Now let me ask you this. What is the desire of God's people? What do you desire? Well, we desire what he desired. His desire was that we be with him. Don't you want to be there? Don't you want to be with him where he is, that we might behold his glory? Lord, I desire what you desire. And the scripture says, the Lord grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel, thy desire. And the response of those that have been regenerated by God's grace and power to know him who is the true and living God, this is what their response is. Look at verse 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God will we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now, God's people, let me tell you what they rejoice in. The scripture does not say that they rejoice in salvation. What does it say? Look at verse 5. We will rejoice in, what's that next word? Thy salvation. Everybody talks about being saved. I'm a Christian. Everybody's a Christian. As I've said before, there's something's wrong when everybody has got a different opinion, a different statement of faith, a different way. This one says this, this one says this, this one says this. Somebody is wrong. The Spirit of God moved on David to say, we will rejoice in thy salvation. That salvation that has been purposed by God, salvation secured by God, and salvation applied by God. Salvation whereby Almighty God, the Father, chose a people before the foundation of the world. That's Ephesians 1:4, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we're bound to give thanks. I've told you this. I love that passage of Scripture. We're bound to give thanks unto God, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. That's God's salvation. Here's God's salvation. I lay down my life for the sheep. That's God's salvation. Here's God's salvation. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That's God's salvation. David was moved to say, we will rejoice in thy salvation. Salvation which is given. Given. It's not ours to earn. We will rejoice. That's what Scripture says. We will rejoice in thy salvation. God's people rejoice right now. I don't even want to remotely take away. We're so thankful. But I will tell you something. One day, in that day, when we stand before him, And we hear him say unto the sheep, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Have mercy on me. When he says to the sheep, enter in. Enter in to that which was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. In that day, we will rejoice. God, thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God when we behold him with perfect sight. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Oh, setting up our banners. What does that mean? Well, you look that word up, set up. It means to flaunt, to be conspicuous. To flaunt something and be conspicuous. We will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God will we set up our banners. That flag, it's a flag. What is he saying? The Spirit of God moved David to say, we're not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace. I'm not ashamed of this. It is the power unto salvation. We ask people, I tell you this all the time, we ask people to come. Come. Yeah, you know, come. Why do we ask them to come? This is the only place, according to these scriptures, the only place where God is pleased to bless the message to the salvation of his people. He does not bless a lie. He's not going to bless something that's going to honor a man and exalt a man. To stand here and tell you God wants to, that's a lie. If God wants to, God does. He doeth as he will. I want people to hear. I don't want to perish. I don't want you to perish. God's going to save his people. I can tell you that. I don't know who they are. I'm going to tell everybody I can. Won't you come? Won't you come? Somebody said, well, they're not going to come. How do you know? You came. You came. We will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all his petitions. The Lord going to do all his pleasure. And then David said, now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Now know I. Now know I what? Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. You know, even just reading those words, now know I. You know what that says to me? We don't know everything, first of all. We don't know. Well, we know something. We know Christ. We know him. We know something. But now, the Spirit of God says, now know I that the Lord saveth. You remember what I said about that ETH? That's a progressive. He saveth. He saveth. He saveth. We're learning. Now know I. We're learning. We're ignorant people. We think we know some stuff. I was just telling Gary a minute ago, Brother Henry, I remember I said this before too. Brother Henry said one time, he said, you know, the older I get, the stupider I realize I am. Isn't that the truth? We don't know anything. We don't. We see through a glass darkly. We know in part. We prophesy in part. We think we know something. David says, now know I. We're growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. But we know this. That the Lord saveth his people. Now, I'm sorry, saveth his anointed. Now, we do know that the Lord Jesus Christ is preeminently the anointed of the Father. We think and behold him. But according to covenant mercy, a covenant grace being found in him, we in him are the blessed and the favored of God's people. God took and raised him from the dead and received him into glory and seated him at his own right hand, and all God's people found in him, God's saving them. Saving them. He saveth his people. I said it's a progressive thing. The scripture declares it. 2 Timothy. Turn back here. 2 Timothy. I love this passage of scripture. I'm like old Tom Harding. Tom said one time, he said, you know what my favorite psalm is? The one I'm reading right then. That's my favorite. But 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Listen to this. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Who has saved us. He said, now are you saying that he saved us, that which was given us in Christ, salvation, before the world began? Well, according to the scriptures, yes. Yes. But there's something that happens in time. It's called regeneration. At regeneration, the Spirit of God comes and crosses the path of God's elect, and he regenerates them, calls them out of darkness, imparts life, removes a heart of stone, gives them a heart of flesh, writes his law on their heart. And this is what he tells them: I'm yours and you're mine. And we will be saved. We shall be saved in that day, especially that scripture I just quoted just a minute ago. Enter in. Enter in. Come, ye blessed to my Father. Enter in. And the Lord now is telling us, now I know, now know I, that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. He'll hear him, and he hears us for Christ's sake. Because our prayers, what does the scripture say? The prayers of the saints are presented by the great high priest in the merit of his holiness and perfection by the incense. These prayers that are offered unto the Father, and God hears them for his sake as he speaks them. I don't even know what to ask, but he does. And then verses 7-9, I'll just sum it up right here. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. Man is born self-confident. He trusts in what he sees in him. But those made sensitive to their own frailty, those taught something of man's inability, and God's people are. They know something about him. The scripture says that the Lord remembers. He remembers. We see that which is invisible. We see which the natural eye can't perceive. And we see by the eye of faith. We see the one who must be revealed from heaven. We see God who has chosen to show mercy. That's who we see. Those that trust in themselves, that trust in chariots, horses, they are, the scripture says, brought down, fallen. Now, they trust in that which is perishing. But we, the scripture says, are risen now. We're risen. We're risen in Christ. I was crucified, Paul said, with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the cry of the one who is risen in him and stands upright by the grace of God. Here's what they say. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. The cry of one that has been saved, that is now being saved, here's what his cry is. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. You ever get tired of saying that? Somebody says, well, I got saved when today is the day of salvation. Lord, save me today. Lord, help me today. Oh, let the King hear us when we call. This is not a one-time call, but rather, we're ever calling, we're ever coming. He that cometh to me. You'll never find a believer that ever tires of calling, ever tires of coming. Lord, I come. By your grace, I come today. Lord, I call today. And this is why I say, Lord, save me today. Save me today. Oh, if the Lord allows us to have any kind of cognizant thought in that day when it is our day to leave this world, you think you'll tire of saying then, Lord, save me. Lord, receive me unto yourself. Lord, don't let me go. Lord, don't leave me. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Every scripture of promise that you can think of at that moment, I'm telling you, in that day, you'll be saying, Lord, save me. Save me. Hear me. Hear me when I call. Hear me, Lord. For Christ's sake, hear me. Amen. All right, Gary.